Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, July 7th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
global stocks slump after yesterday's rally.
Coronavirus cases climb in the South while warning signs emerge in New Jersey.
Dr. Anthony Fauci warns on the long-term effectiveness of a vaccine.
And Washington prepares for work on another round of stimulus.
Governor Cuomo says New York is holding its own in controlling COVID-19. Plus, the white woman who called the NYPD on a black bird watcher has been charged. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Mets and Yankees schedules are out, and there's a new highest paid player in the NFL.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm helping clients to be in a position of strength in the new reality of business. Learn about their innovative solutions by visiting Withum.com.
And U.S. futures are falling after yesterday's rally. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 25 points, Dow futures down 265, NASDAQ futures down 48. The DAX in Germany is down 1.3%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 0.66%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.15%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9% or 35 cents at $40.28 a barrel. This data check brought to you by SEI, today's competitive marketplace, requires asset managers to become more operationally adept. See how you can transform your business with SEI's global platform at SEIC.com/IMS. Nathan.
Karen, coronavirus infections across the country continue to climb. State and local officials continue to clash over what measures to take. In Florida, Miami-Dade Mayor Carlos Jimenez is rolling back reopening plans, closing restaurants and gyms.
What we need is a plan and a strategy that is long-term and that is calculated to defeat COVID-19 in our community.
At the same time, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is reassuring residents there's little to fear from the outbreak.
There's no need to really be fearful about it. I mean, we can talk about the different steps that individuals can take, you know, that we're going to take statewide. But at the end of the day, you know, this is something that's been around for quite some time.
The latest data show Florida cases hitting a record on a rolling 7-day basis.
In California, the rate of infections continues to climb, yet plans for a slow reopening continue. Here at the latest is Ed Baxter from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The governor says positivity rates continue to grow quickly.
We were at 4.9% positivity rate just 14 days ago, and now again it's 6.8%. You look at the 7-day positivity rate, it's now over 7%.
And he says hospitalization is up 50% over the 14-day average. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. In New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy's growing concerned about a climbing transmission rate.
For every new case of COVID we are seeing, that case is leading to at least one other new case. This means increasing rate of spread statewide. This is an early warning sign that, quite frankly, we need to do more.
Murphy says infections brought from other states helped drive New Jersey's transmission rate to the highest level in 10 weeks. The state has a mandatory self-quarantine in place for travelers from 16 states.
Any vaccine to ward off the virus could be limited in how long it protects against infection. That's according to Dr. Anthony Fauci.
We're going to assume that there's a degree of protection, but we have to assume that it's going to be finite. It's not going to be like a measles vaccine. So there's going to be follow-up in those cases to see if we might need a boost.
Fauci says initial vaccine should be enough to get us through the first cycle of the virus. He still expects word on the viability of a shot by year's end.
For lawmakers in Washington, the question is how to keep the economy afloat as we wait for a vaccine. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with more on that. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nathan. The fight against COVID-19 promises to drag on, and that reality is setting in for the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
We had hoped we'd be on the way to saying goodbye to this healthcare pandemic. Clearly, it is not over.
McConnell expects Congress to pass one final coronavirus rescue bill later this month. Meantime, the Labor Secretary, Eugene Scalia, pins hopes for a quick recovery on states reopening despite rising cases. He spoke on Bloomberg's Balance of Power.
We can continue to safely reopen as long as we're careful. And again, as long as we bear in mind the lesson that we've observed in California, Arizona, and elsewhere.
Scalia tells us there are no plans to extend unemployment benefits beyond their current scope. He expects extra $600 a week benefits to expire at the end of this month as scheduled. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Global stocks are lower after yesterday's rally. Chinese equities were the lone bright spot in Asia overnight. And Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. The CSI 300 held on to five-year highs, up another 0.6% on the close, while the Shanghai Composite had a more modest gain of 0.4%, rising for a sixth session. The offshore yuan briefly strengthened through the 7 per dollar level for the first time since March. Elsewhere, equity markets fell in Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, Hong Kong, and Singapore. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Juliet. Tensions are rising in Hong Kong as police are given sweeping new powers under China's new national security law. We get details from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis.
Police can now search a premises without a warrant issued by a judge. They can conduct online surveillance and seize electronic devices. Officers can freeze assets and seize property if the security minister says it's warranted. And they can take your travel documents and prevent you from leaving Hong Kong. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo calls it Orwellian censorship. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. On the corporate front, we have earnings from Samsung. Profits beat estimates thanks to increased chip demand. Gadget sales also showed signs of recovering. The strong results from Samsung suggest the tech industry could be climbing back from the pandemic.
Bayer, known as Bayer in the U.S., has seen its Roundup settlement hit a roadblock. A federal judge asked to oversee the lawsuits has tentatively rejected the proposal. He's calling for a court hearing later this month. Shares of Bayer are down more than 6% in Frankfurt.
An S&P future is down 28 points this morning. Dow futures down 298 and NASDAQ futures down 55. The euro is at 1.1265 against the dollar. British pound 1.2469 and the yen is at 107.70. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's get more on the coronavirus response in this country and the rest of the world's news. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the state is holding its own in controlling the coronavirus. Cuomo says in the seven-week stretch since the start of reopening the state, we're actually down from where we were since the beginning. As for New York City, Cuomo urged residents to remain vigilant.
New Yorkers did the impossible. We went from the worst infection rate in the United States to the best infection rate in the United States. I like to say that we crossed the mountain.
New York City entered phase three of reopening yesterday. Westchester and Hudson Valley enter phase four today. In New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy talked about his plans for reopening the state.
Summer camp and educational programs for our youth have been green-lighted to reopen. Outdoor graduations may be held to celebrate the class of 2020, and NJ Transit returned to its full weekday schedule. We are continuing down our road back.
Governor Ned Lamont says Connecticut will delay phase three of its reopening indefinitely to avoid the COVID-19 resurgences other states are seeing. Connecticut was set to begin phase three on July 20th. Atlanta's mayor says she has tested positive for COVID-19 despite having what she describes as no symptoms. Keisha Lance Bottom says her symptoms were more like seasonal allergies. The 50-year-old Democrat is among the women named as a potential running mate for presumptive presidential nominee Joe Biden. A white woman who called the police on a black man watching birds in Central Park in May has been charged with falsely reporting an incident, a misdemeanor. Amy Cooper had accused Christian Cooper of threatening to attack her after he asked her to keep her dog on a leash. Cooper is scheduled to appear for an arraignment in October. She faces up to a year in jail and probation. Jeffrey Epstein's longtime confidant, Ghislaine Maxwell, has been transferred from a New England jail to Brooklyn to face charges she recruited girls for him to sexually abuse. The 58-year-old was arrested last week. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, move over Mike Trout. His contract with the Angels is for a mere $425 million guaranteed. Patrick Mahomes' new 10-year extension with the Chiefs is for $477 million. He could make $503 million, that's over half a billion. Although in the NFL, it's no sure thing. Mahomes is still playing in Kansas City when the deal ends in 2031. The contract is staggering. Mahomes is only 24 years old. He sat on the bench as a rookie and then won an MVP. And then won a Super Bowl. It had already been widely reported the Yankees' first game would be July 23rd in Washington. Now the entire schedule is out after those three games in D.C. The Yanks move up to Philadelphia for two, and then they will host the Phillies for two. As for Subway Series games that you cannot take a Subway into 10, Yanks and Mets starting August 21st at Citi Field and a week later in the Bronx. The Mets opener July 24th at home against Atlanta. At least that's the plan. The Dodgers' Mookie Betts and the Cardinals' Andrew Miller have both publicly stated they have doubts still as to whether there's really going to be a season. Atlanta outfielder Nick Markakis is the latest player to opt out. And three teams, the Nationals, Astros, and Cardinals, had to cancel their workouts yesterday because they had not yet gotten back results of COVID tests that were taken last Friday. Widely reported that Stanley Cup playoff games will be held in Toronto and Edmonton, and now word that the Cup Final Series will be in Edmonton. Next week's PGA event, the Memorial in Ohio, was to be the first to allow in fans, but with the virus surging, they've changed their mind. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
And John, there doesn't seem to be much love for tennis as colleges look for ways to trim their athletic budgets due to the pandemic. According to the Associated Press, tennis programs are the only sports to be eliminated by more than four Division I schools since the outbreak began. The head of the Intercollegiate Tennis Association says many of those cuts may have already been in the works, and it may have been easier to make them now when people are more focused on the virus. S&P futures down 29 points now. Dow futures lower by 301. NASDAQ futures giving back 54 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are dropping from a one-month high after Germany reported weaker-than-expected industrial data. U.S. stock index futures are lower a day after tech gains pushed the NASDAQ composite to a record high. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 27 points. Dow futures down 283. NASDAQ futures down 50. The DAX in Germany is down 1.3%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 0.66%. The yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.3% or 54 cents at $40.09 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $9.30 at $17.84.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1267 against the dollar. British pound 1.2468. And the yen 107.73. And today we're watching for the JOLTS jobs report out at 10 o'clock Wall Street time. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The U.S. death rate from COVID-19 has surpassed 130,000. Bloomberg's John Tucker has more in this live report.
And Michael, infection rates across the country are climbing. Florida cases hit a new high on a rolling seven-day basis. Still, Governor Ron DeSantis there is reassuring residents there's little to fear from the outbreak, and that's leading to a clash with local officials. Miami-Dade's mayor is rolling back reopening plans. In New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy says infections brought from other states helped drive New Jersey's coronavirus transmission rate to the highest level in 10 weeks. And in California, the rate of positive infections continues to climb as plans for a slow reopening continue. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you, sir. Companies associated with President Trump and members of his administration were among recipients of small business COVID loans. According to newly released data, loan recipients included a law firm run by one of Trump's key defenders in the Russia probe and a Kushner family real estate project.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street now, and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Jeffrey Yu joins us now, senior strategist at BNY Mellon. Good to have you with us, Jeffrey, as we watch a bit of a pullback after yesterday's rally to start off the week. I wonder if you see any further upside for equities.
Well, you know, at this point, equities will just be looking at, you know, not only the situation with COVID in the U.S., but a global reflation. It's worth noting that probably contrary to expectations, this week's Monday risk surge was driven by China and what China can actually do to reflate its economy, and whether the strong surge in Chinese markets is actually going to be backed up by our data. The scale of the surge set really a high bar. So I think it's only natural that right now markets globally are just taking a bit of a breather. Even if you look at the Chinese news reports, they're calling the temperature just a little bit too hot with equity markets right now, but fundamentals are still sound.
Fundamentals are sound. What fundamentals are you looking at?
Well, so if you look at Asia, we really need to take individual economies into isolation. On a global basis, I would say, yes, we are seeing greater signs of recovery. If you look at, you know, China, the economy has opened up, you know, for a while. You're looking from sectoral data, you know, to just broader macro data. Things are picking up in the UK and Europe, for example. You're seeing spending pick up. In the US, we've had good jobs numbers. So those fundamentals, if they can be maintained, then that can actually help risk appetite. But again, it's just a question of good data right now. How long can we extend that? You know, can we actually make this recovery sustainable?
Of course, we got that worse than expected data on industrials out of Germany. What implications could that have for the market going forward?
I think, you know, right now, if European data is still soft or subdued, actually markets will see whether that can be converted, you know, into a new push, new momentum to actually, you know, get the fiscal package in place. And we know there's going to be a critical summit coming through in Europe. There's still quite a bit of daylight, you know, between the frugal side, you know, versus the economies in the south, and which actually require greater investment. I think from Chancellor Merkel's point of view, she would just say, look at the data in Germany. Germany can't reflate, but Germany can help everyone else invest and, you know, get the Eurozone data back up and running again. So bad data right now in Europe, that just underscores the need for a big push. It actually might turn out to be good news.
What about the implications of the positive data we've seen out of the U.S. of late for fiscal stimulus in the U.S. as talks start to get underway on that?
That really is an interesting point. So you can look at it in both ways. And I guess if the data is going to be sustainable, you know, then that actually, you know, does reduce some the need and for additional stimulus. On the other hand, if there are concerns that the renewed lockdowns in certain states could actually drive data softer again, fiscal is still going to be on the table. I think the wider consensus, the broad consensus across global central banks right now is they can set the monetary conditions loose, but fiscal needs to generate the demand. So I think net-net, the fiscal discussion needs to actually move towards more, not a sudden cliff edge taking it away. But whether that actually materializes and really is going to be dependent on individual countries.
Also curious, Jeffrey, to get your view on how earnings could impact the stock market as we get closer to earnings season. Do you think we'll get sort of a lineup for earnings versus valuations anytime soon?
So I think even before we go there, the people crunching the numbers, looking at valuations, we'll just have to look at guidance, right? So it was really, really tough, you know, not just for companies, but for central banks. You know, how many central banks, and they suspended their staff and projections, you know, the Fed did so during the last quarter. So that is the first step, you know, that is the fundamental block for us to get even like solid numbers or half solid numbers on the table. So before we can actually start to talk about a medium to longer term view. So the companies in a position to provide stronger guidance, I think that will benefit as well from clarity, because markets want clarity right now. But again, you know, everything's up in the air. Australia, for example, they thought they had navigated things quite well, but now Victoria's back into lockdown. So yes, maybe more clarity, but the path is still going to be very, very, very uncertain. And that probably will need to be applied to valuations as well.
All right. Thanks for this. As always, Jeffrey, good talking with you. That's Jeffrey Yu, senior strategist at BNY Mellon, as we look at a bit of a pullback for equities as we get this Tuesday morning started. S&P futures are down now by 29 points. Dow futures lower by 301 points. NASDAQ futures, a loss of 54 points. DAX in Germany down almost 1.5%. The CAC in Paris is lower by 1.25% right now. 10-year Treasury up 2/32. The yield at 0.66%. Yield on a 2-year Treasury note, 0.15%. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more, visit them anytime at mynycb.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks are lower after yesterday's rally. Coronavirus cases continue to rise across the country. In Florida, Miami-Dade Mayor Carlos Jimenez is backtracking on reopening plans.
The rollback includes gyms, large venues, casinos, and Airbnbs.
The mayor's also closing restaurants after data show Florida infections hitting a record on a rolling 7-day basis.
Dr. Anthony Fauci pins the surge in southern cases to early reopening plans.
With various states and cities trying to open up in the sense of getting back to some form of normality has led to a situation where we've now had record breaking cases.
Across the country, daily infections are up 2%. That is an increase over last week's average.
Still, there's no call from the White House to halt reopening plans. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. John, good morning.
And Karen, the administration is pinning hopes for a quick recovery on states reopening, despite the rising cases. Labor Secretary Eugene Scalia says precautions are necessary.
We still need to practice social distancing. When that's not possible, quite often we're going to need to wear masks, and that's being reinforced.
When it comes to economic measures, Scalia tells us there are no plans to extend unemployment benefits beyond their current scope. He expects extra $600 a week benefits to expire at the end of this month as scheduled. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, John, thanks. On the corporate front, we have earnings from Samsung. Profits beat estimates thanks to increased chip demand. Gadget sales also showed signs of recovering. The strong results from Samsung suggest the tech industry could be climbing back from the pandemic.
Bayer, known as Bayer in the U.S., has seen its Roundup settlement hit a roadblock. A federal judge asked to oversee the lawsuits and has tentatively rejected the proposal. He is calling for a court hearing later this month. Shares of Bayer are down more than 6% in Frankfurt. And right now, futures are lower. S&P futures down 27 points. Dow futures down 279. NASDAQ futures down 48. The DAX in Germany is down 1.3%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32. Yield 0.66%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.4% on 58 cents at $40.05 a barrel. COMEX gold is also moving lower this morning. It's down 0.6%, down $9.80 at $1,783.70 an ounce. The euro, 1.1267 against the dollar. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Now with more on the coronavirus impact in this country and what else is happening around the world, here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Phase 4 of reopening begins today in New York's Westchester and Rockland counties. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the state is holding its own in controlling the coronavirus. Cuomo says in the 7-week stretch since the start of reopening the state, we're actually down from where we were since the beginning. The governor also says President Trump must admit COVID-19 is a major problem if he doesn't want to be a, quote, co-conspirator of the deadly virus.
If he does not acknowledge that, then he is facilitating the virus. He is enabling the virus. How did this become a political statement?
In New Jersey, summer youth camps will reopen. Governor Phil Murphy also says outdoor graduations can be held for the class of 2020. Murphy once again stressed the importance of wearing face masks.
We all need to be wearing face coverings, even when it's a hot day like today. COVID-19 doesn't care about the weather. It only cares about finding another person to infect. Don't be a willing host. Wear a face covering, self-quarantine if you've been to a coronavirus hotspot, and get tested.
Governor Ned Lamont says Connecticut will delay phase three of its reopening indefinitely to avoid the COVID-19 resurgences other states are seeing. Connecticut was set to begin phase three on July 20th. Atlanta's mayor says she has tested positive for COVID-19 despite having what she describes as no symptoms. Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms.
My symptoms have been like my seasonal allergy symptoms. I've had a headache the past few days and just, you know, a little dry cough, but that's not unusual because I have that with my allergies, which are just about year-round in Atlanta.
The 50-year-old Democrat is among the women named as a potential running mate for presumptive presidential nominee Joe Biden. A white woman walking her dog who called the police during a viral dispute with a black man in Central Park was charged with filing a false report. In May, Amy Cooper called 911 to report she was being threatened by an African-American man when birdwatcher Christian Cooper appeared to keep his distance as he recorded her rant on his phone. The publisher of a tell-all book about President Donald Trump by his niece will be released next week. Simon & Schuster's announcement means the book by Mary Trump will be available for readers on July 14th, 2 weeks earlier than planned. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 5:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. Normally when a baseball schedule comes out, a fan might want to then think about what games to attend. Not the case this year, but the schedule for games without fans is out, and as had been reported, the first game of the season, about 4 months late, 2 weeks from Thursday, the Yankees in Washington against the defending World Series champs in what should be a great pitching matchup of Gerrit Cole in his Yankees debut against Max Scherzer. The Mets open up the next night at home against Atlanta. Mets and Yankees will face off over consecutive weekends in late August, first at Citi Field, then in the Bronx. Patrick Mahomes has already thrown 50 touchdown passes and won an MVP, and then won the first Super Bowl for Kansas City in 50 years, and now he's the highest paid player in the NFL. The highest in any sport. 10-year extension with the Chiefs, $477 million guaranteed, plus a no-trade clause. They didn't have to do this. Mahomes had 2 years left on his rookie contract. Jets safety Jamal Adams came in the same year as Mahomes. He's been looking for a new deal. The Jets seem in no hurry. The NBA is allowing players to use social justice messages on their uniforms. They provided a list of permissible messages. The Celtics' Jaylen Brown called the list disappointing. The opt-outs continue. Atlanta Braves outfielder Nick Markakis taking a pass on playing this season. Washington Wizards all-star Bradley Beal says he will travel with the team to Orlando today, but still hasn't decided whether he's going to actually play the games. And the Dallas MLS team, with 10 players having tested positive, will not take part in the MLS is Back tournament that starts Thursday in Orlando. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
The pandemic is upending the rules of real estate in New York City. As residents avoid face-to-face lobby encounters to socially distance, some homebuyers see doormen as a liability. Ground floor apartments, typically shunned for their proximity to the street, are suddenly having their moment. Well, after fleeing New York for their second homes, some of the wealthiest families in the country are paying to reserve spots in the city's elite schools. One Upper East Side mom tells Bloomberg she paid full tuition to Manhattan private schools while also enrolling her kids in private school 2,000 miles away out west, where the family is currently staying. Princeton plans to bring back a portion of undergraduate students for the upcoming semester with regular COVID-19 testing in private sleeping areas. The school's approved a 10% tuition discount for all students for the 2020-2021 academic year. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, Ed, thanks. 538 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that thousands of U.S. farms received just over $6 billion from the Payroll Protection Program.
I'm Steve Potoskin on 1010 Winds in New York. We're watching shares of Becton Dickinson, which jumped yesterday after approval of its 15-minute COVID-19 test.
I'm Caroline Hepcorn, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on a new pledge by Chancellor Rishi Sunak to spend billions of pounds on green projects.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting Carnival Cruise Line will delay the launch of its new Mardi Gras ship.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting an appeals court has ruled the CEOs of GM and Fiat Chrysler don't have to meet to settle a lawsuit.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. And speaking of cars, Tesla's been on a roll. In just five trading days, the electric car maker's market cap has added the combined value of Detroit's big three. Tesla's grown by an average $14 billion on each of those days. Analysts say institutional investors now want a piece of that company. It's 5:40 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is online now. It's the heist issue, including the empty frames that remain the art world's biggest mystery. Terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAGGO. Listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly right here on Bloomberg Radio or watch it on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Get global business, finance, and tech news on your TV, computer, or mobile device at YouTube.com. Search Bloomberg Global News. S&P futures down 28 points. Dow futures lower by 281. NASDAQ futures a loss of 50 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports is brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are dropping from a one-month high as officials warn the economy will take longer to recover, and Germany reported weaker-than-expected industrial data. U.S. stock index futures are lower a day after tech gains pushed the NASDAQ composite to a record. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 30 points. Dow futures down 293. NASDAQ futures down 50. The DAX in Germany is down 1.3%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 0.66%, yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.3% or 54 cents at $40.09 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $10.70 at $17.82.90 an ounce. The euro 1.1265 against the dollar. British pound 1.2470 and the yen 107.78. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Dr. Anthony Fauci says any vaccine developed to ward off COVID-19 would likely be limited in how long it would shield against infection. The director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases says we're still knee-deep in the first wave of the pandemic. More than 130,000 people in the U.S. have died from the virus. Companies associated with President Trump and members of his administration were among recipients of coronavirus aid. According to newly released data, loan recipients included a law firm run by one of Trump's key defenders in the Russia probe, a Kushner family real estate project, and the publisher of the National Enquirer. President Trump said he opposes renaming the Washington Redskins and Cleveland Indians, dismissing as politically correct efforts to change what many view as offensive references to Native Americans. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
And Michael, thank you. 5:49 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. As economies reopen and employers consider ways of getting people back to work, some companies are looking at antibody testing. Does it work? Bloomberg's Stephanie Baker has some experience with this as she joins us from London this morning. Steph, you write for Bloomberg Businessweek. You've had more than a few tests. Walk us through your experience, if you would.
Right. So I had an illness in February and was never tested for COVID-19. This was early days when testing was hard to come by. So I was curious to find out if I did, in fact, have it. In April, I took four antibody tests, these finger prick cassettes that were on the market at the time. And many had questioned whether or not they were reliable. And I took two that were positive and two that were negative. So I was none the wiser. It was a very frustrating experience. I waited until some newer tests came on the market that seemed to be more reliable, and took a test by Abbott, the U.S. pharma giant, where instead of taking a finger prick blood sample, they took it from your vein, which is considered more reliable, potentially more sensitive, and that indeed was positive. So that was my fifth antibody test to determine whether or not I had it. Now, these tests are not perfect, right? You know, we don't know how long antibodies to COVID-19 last and what kind of immunity they confer, but at least gives me some sense of where I stand, that I might have some immunity and it's something to monitor.
Well, what's the difference between the swab test and one where the blood is drawn? Is one better than the other?
The swab test is to test for an active infection.
Okay.
The blood tests are to see if you have recovered from COVID-19 and you have the antibodies, the sort of immune fighting system in place to prevent reinfection.
Now,
and
if,
I will stress that we still don't know what it looks like in terms of how long antibodies last and whether or not you could get reinfected.
All right, what good is the antibody test if, as you just said, we don't know how much in or to the extent which that infers some sort of immunity?
Well, we think many scientists believe it confers some immunity, at the very least for a few months, possibly for a couple of years. There was research done with the outbreak of the first SARS in 2002 and 2003, and they found that antibodies against that SARS outbreak lasted for 2 years. And, you know, I'm curious, you know, there are some people who want to know for the sake of, you know, in case they have lung or heart conditions in the future, and that, you know, the case of COVID-19 might, you know, be a factor that your doctor might incorporate into your treatment. And, you know, we will learn more about COVID-19 antibodies as it progresses. And as long as there is no vaccine, I think it's better to know than to not know, but while being careful at the same time.
You make this revelation as part of a public health awareness campaign. It's a public service on your part, but do you feel a little bit like Nathaniel Hawthorne's character, Hester Prynne? Is there a letter attached somewhere?
Well, it's a weird experience because usually you don't want to be diagnosed with a disease. And in this case, I was rather happy to get a positive result because, you know, perhaps depending on what we find out in the future, perhaps I will not get it again. So in this case, having, if you want to call it a scarlet letter, is not a bad thing. But I do think that we all need to be careful about what immunity might allow you to do and what it might not allow you to do. So I'm trying to be as careful and responsible as I can with this decision. And I think that's the reason why a lot of companies are reluctant to do antibody testing, because we don't really know what it means. It's good to know. It provides peace of mind in an anxious time. But it's a kind of watch the space.
We are glad you're okay. Steph, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Bloomberg Stephanie Baker. You could read her story in the next edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Karen.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. It's time now for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Minor league baseball teams are suing their insurance companies for refusing to cover the income lost when the 2020 season was canceled. The teams all had standing business interruption policies. Commercial Chapter 11 filings surged in the first half of the year as the pandemic shut down businesses. The number of filings was up 26% from the first half of last year. The Supreme Court agreed to reinstate streamlined permits for all pipelines across the country, except for Keystone XL.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, in other legal news, the Supreme Court has ruled the states can require members of the Electoral College to vote for the presidential candidate who won statewide balloting. The unanimous ruling involved a case where 10 so-called faithless electors voted or tried to vote for someone other than Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton in 2016. For more on the decision, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Richard Briffault, a professor at Columbia Law School.
After the oral arguments in this case, was this decision expected?
Yes, I think it was. I think the justices, many of them were concerned about this idea of potential chaos if the states could not make sure that electors would cast the votes that they were elected to cast. There is the constitutional argument that the original intent of the framers was to actually have the electors use their judgment. But our practice since almost the beginning of the country has been for the electors to vote the positions that they were chosen to take. And so I think as presidential elections are in practice popular elections, even if we still have to use the Electoral College, I think the justices were showing in the oral argument the sense is that it made sense to have the states be able to require the electors to cast the votes that they were chosen to cast.
There are more faithless electors in the 2016 presidential election than ever before in history, but how much impact will this decision really have going forward?
Faithless electors are very rare. If you go back for the preceding century, I was looking at this, between 1916 and 2012, there were exactly nine faithless electors, and that was in 25 elections, and there were 500 electors or more in every one of those elections. So it's a very rare thing. There were a sizable number in 2016, and I think it reflected a lot of the discontent in the country with the choices that people had. It's highly unlikely we were going to have a constitutional crisis due to faithless electors, but I think the value was more symbolic than anything else, but it does kind of confirm the idea that this is a popular election. Admittedly, it's a popular election by states, which is why we can still get a gap between the national popular vote and the national electoral vote. The president is popularly elected on a state-by-state basis. But it is a kind of a confirmation that whatever the intentions of the framers were in 1787, we have moved in a more small-d democratic direction.
That's Columbia Law Professor Richard Briffault speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. S&P futures lower, down about 29 points. Dow futures down 284. NASDAQ futures down 50. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 0.66%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.15%. The euro 1.1275 against the dollar. The yen 107.75. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.